Good evening. We're about a minute behind tonight. Welcome to the program. I'm Buddy Martin. This is the Buddy Martin Show on Meldon Law Monday. Standing by in the orange and blue room is Shane Matthews. He's en route from somewhere tonight, so we won't get his beautiful mug on the page except by photo. And he'll be joined in a moment, brought to you by Titan MRI. On the program tonight, coming along, Scott Carter will join us and update us on the weekend activities and the big game Saturday night in the Swamp against LSU. And, of course, it's Monday, and that means Franz Beer, the Iron Duke, will be here, all coming your way right here on Meldon Law Monday. Tell your friends and neighbors we are on the air.
Yes, it's time again for Buddy Martin. Call him up and tell him what you're thinking. But be kind because he's doing the best he can.
Better. Stronger. Faster.
Mama says that alligators are ornery because they got all them teeth but no toothbrush.
Hey, what if the voice calls while you're gone?
Take a message.
Bye.
You ready, champ?
I'm ready for this my whole life.
I'm incapable of small talk. But that's why you love me, right?
Kind of intimidating to be in the presence of so many great athletes.
Good evening and welcome to the program. It's playing in the background, so we're going to hear it twice. So stand by. We're going to go right to the orange and blue room hotline. Gators are 4-2. The game is on the table. They have now the second half of the season to prove what they are. The next 4 weeks, not counting the open day, will probably do that. The games get more important as we go, and we know who's coming to town Saturday night in the Swamp, and that would be, my friend, the LSU Tigers. We're coming right back in just a minute to bring to also his morning show. Titan MRI is worth a short drive to Gainesville, by the way. If you don't know about it, you should make it a point to find out. No insurance, no problem. You can pay cash or with your card. The same day scheduling is available. Start feeling better today. Titan MRI is North Central Florida's premier independent MRI facility. Come see why hundreds of patients are visiting our Gainesville location from Ocala, Marion County, the Villages. That's TitanMRI.com. You see the logo on the screen with the phone number. So good. Let's go right over to, before we get to our Meldon Law message, let's go to Shane Matthews, who will be there Saturday night on the call, doing the game. And Shane, looks like the hard part of the schedule is coming up. Are you there, Shane? Hello, Shane.
Can you hear me now?
All right, now I got you, buddy. How you doing?
Yeah, I think you had me on mute. Yeah, it's hard to believe we've already halfway through the schedule, and it goes by fast. Anytime you play the LSU Tigers, regardless of the sport, it should be a fun night.
I was talking to Matt Moscona for an interview later in the week, and I was trying to remember the bizarre things that have happened in this series. And inadvertently, this has come really kind of the big rivalry game since it hasn't been Tennessee until now. It starts to be more of a factor. I'm trying to remember back the crazy things that happened in this series. When you think about LSU, and I go back to, 2007 or whatever, what are the games that come to your mind? I know one of them was the foggy night in Gainesville, the thrown shoe. What comes to your mind, Shane Matthews?
Well, back in my day, it really wasn't much of a rivalry. We kind of handled them most for the most part. I think Joe Burrow's first year, he throws a pick six. We win in the Swamp. Hurricane game, I think it was, where.
Yeah, I think you're in. I think Shane, you're in it. Shane, you're going through a bad spot in your from Orlando. Let me just back that up for a second and repeat what you just said. You think about, and we're going to. I got you now. Go ahead. Repeat.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, got you. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we handled them when I was playing. So the only thing I can think of are, you know, the hurricane game where the location got changed and we had the goal line stand against them in Baton Rouge. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, Marco throwing the shoe. Everybody remembers that. But it's been an interesting series. I think both these programs are kind of in similar situations right now. New head coaches taking over teams that didn't have great years last year and probably don't have the quality rosters that Florida and LSU are used to. But it should be a fun night. It's going to be Tom Petty night, so I know a lot of Gator fans are excited about that.
Yeah. That's a new thing. It's really going to be fun. I think that's a good addition to what they're doing. We already have so many traditions there in Florida, and you can't beat that combo, A and B side. We are the boys, and then won't back down, which are two classics. Let me go back to last week's game. I listened to a part of your call. Good job, another good job on the color analysts. There were some plays that I know you almost came out of your chair, and I did, on defense. I'm trying to put this in the right perspective. It was a W. It was a win. They had the big plays and they needed them. They had a lot of chunk plays, all good. But the third down, I mean, let's be honest, there were times it was miserable. I mean, you go third and 28, you can't give that up. And I heard your comments about it in the on the broadcast. What do you think is going wrong there? Obviously, there's some defensive issues, assignments, scheme, whatever. What do you think happened?
Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with the scheme. I think when you have – the percentages of converting anything third and 12 plus are very, very low. You know, they made a good throw on a corner route that we were a hair behind from knocking it down or intercepting it. They throw a flat route where they only threw the ball 4 yards past the line of scrimmage. We took a bad angle, and then the guy made a few Gators miss and got the first down. So I don't think there's any problem with the calls. I don't think there's any problem with the scheme. We just aren't making the plays. And I don't know if our players don't understand situational football. There's nothing wrong with them. That's why you play soft in third and long, is for them to complete, make the quarterback throw it underneath and rally and make a tackle.
Yeah, but they didn't throw it underneath a lot of times. They threw completed a long pass. But anyway.
Well, they only completed one. Out of all those, they only completed one long pass. And like I told you, we came close to knocking it down or intercepting, but you got to give the other team credit for making that play. But the other ones that they threw, you know, buddy, they threw for 220 yards the entire game. And I think 107 of those yards, or maybe it was 160 of those yards, were yards after the catch, which is incredible when you think about it.
That's tackling. Now, I don't want to go negative here because I think I really like this program. I like what they've done with infrastructure and players. And I must say that if you just take the players that Billy brought with him, you know, my gosh, how could you do much better? Osiris is having an All-American year, you know, Antares. And certainly we know the running back stable is looking really good. And what we see in there production-wise, I was talking today to the guy at Baton Rouge. The irony of this whole thing, looking at Florida's seasonal stats and LSU's, you could almost reverse them. Florida is rushing for more yards than LSU. LSU is passing for more yards than Florida. Now, I know Anthony had a hard struggle, obviously, in the first half, and didn't know what he – and he only had 65 yards. But he did – I will say this. When they needed plays, not the least of which was Anthony's scramble for 32 yards to set up the touchdown, and the Jaden Hill interceptions – by the way, shout-out to Jaden, SEC Defensive Player of the Week – when they needed plays, they made them. And in essence, that's what you want. You put them out there in the field, but you can only line them up so many times and coach them up. They got to make the plays. That's what you always tell me. So I think from that standpoint, they did well. What did you like about this game?
Well, I thought Jaden Hill made some plays. Give Ventrell Miller credit on the first interception because he rerouted the receiver and knocked him off course, and that allowed Jaden to jump the slant route. But Ventrell's a really good football player. I thought the second half we made tremendous adjustments in the run game. Billy and his staff can really scheme up some runs now. You know, we are what we are in the passing game. I've talked multiple times on your program. We'll never be a great throwing football team. But, look, the job of Billy Napier and his staff are to put a plan together that gives our kids a chance to win football games. And to be honest with you, when I go back and watch all the games, I've yet to have one problem with anything that they've tried to do to win the game. There's only one series that I can think of the entire season that I could put a question mark was, and it was after the long punt return by Xavier Henderson. We had tremendous field position, and it was a momentum change in the game. I would have loved to have taken a couple of shots at the end zone from about the 35-yard line, but we ran three straight times and ended up having to settle for a field goal, which we missed. But other than that, he knows what kind of team we are. He knows what we can and cannot do, and that's a sign of a good coach.
What about the timeout, which is gave them the time to set up their field goal unit when it looked like they were scrambling, and they called a timeout?
Well, they had 24 seconds in a Mayday situation, which Mayday is usually a term used by all field goal units when they're trying to rush onto the field to kick it. 24 seconds is an eternity. They were not in a hurry. The problem was we had defensive linemen walking off the field.
Yeah,
that would have been a penalty.
I hate that.
He had to call the timeout because the Gators would have been penalized for being offsides.
And then they could have gone for it, right? They decided.
Possibly could have.
It would have been fourth and whatever it was, fourth and five instead of fourth and ten. So, all right, so here we go. All right, now you saw what you saw. Like I said when I opened the show, the game is on the table these next 4 weeks, not counting the open date. We know what's ahead. By the way, Texas A&M is no patsy. We saw that against in the Alabama game. And certainly they played extremely well. Could have won that game, throwing to the end zone the last play. And then, of course, there's Georgia. So these next 3 weeks, I mean, you can't get ahead of yourself. How critical is this LSU game on Saturday night at home to try to even the score, some things that have happened, to see if Anthony can get back in his throwing motion and get his rhythm again? Because we know Florida can run the football, but then LSU used to be able to run the football. So talk about LSU and then what's ahead from here.
Well, the must win was last week against Missouri.
I agree.
I mean, you were 0-6 in your last six conference games, 2-10 in the last 12, only one game better than Vanderbilt. So that's what was just mind-boggling to me. So you get the Missouri win. LSU, as I mentioned earlier, they're in the same boat as we are, 4-2. New coach, program is trying to change the culture, get it headed in the right direction. It's a huge game. If you look at the schedule, a lot of toss-up games. Do I think we can beat Georgia? I mean, they'd have to play their worst game and turn it over multiple times for us to win that game. A&M will be extremely difficult, regardless of how they play. It's sitting at 3-3. They are extremely talented, and it's going to be a rough environment. But the other games, Florida State is about like us, but it's in Tallahassee. South Carolina had a big win. I don't think they're very good.
Wow, what a win that was. Nobody saw that coming. Of course, Will Levis set out.
Well, Will not playing, and then they had a couple of special teams plays that helped South Carolina. So, you know, when you look at college football, there's three legitimate, solid, dominant football teams, and you may be able to throw Clemson in the mix. Everybody else is just kind of the same team. You know, Kentucky was never a top 10 team, in my opinion.
Me neither.
Ole Miss is still undefeated. They're not a top 10 team, but they are what they are. They're undefeated. Give them credit. So back to the LSU game, we got to find a way to win at home. And, you know, like I told you, these teams are mirror images of one another.
They are.
Same kind of quarterback, a dual threat better runner than thrower, both teams. Neither team is great on defense at stopping people. So, you know, we got to protect the football to have a chance.
Yeah. Montreal Johnson and Trevor Etienne, they say in L.A., out in Louisiana, Etienne, ranked second and fourth in SEC in yards per rush. How good is this running game? I mean, are they good enough to line up and knock people off the ball, and they need to get a drive to win the game or not?
Well, I think you saw it in the second half. I mean, we weren't doing anything in the first half, and what did we do? We turned to the run game. I think on one of the touchdown drives that we took the lead on, I think it was a six-play drive. We ran it all six times. Those two running backs are outstanding, as well as Naquan Wright. I know a lot of people are negative towards him. He is the smartest, probably, football player that we have on offense. And he does so many of the little things that you can't teach. He does a lot of things to help our quarterback out as well.
Talking about Naquan, right?
Yes, Naquan Wright.
Okay.
So we have a tremendous group of running backs. And Rob Sell and his other staff of offensive line coaches do a phenomenal job in the run game.
Yeah, and there's no doubt about that. Now, as we look at the schedule, what did we say before the season started? What would be a really, really good year for Florida?
Oh, I said if they won eight games, he could
we
be
both
like
said
in the line of a coach of the year. And I'm even at seven. I'm the same. I feel the same way.
Yeah. All right. So now he's got four. He's got some tough games. But are there four winnable games left on the schedule, the back half?
Well, Vanderbilt. We got to beat Vanderbilt.
Florida State, maybe. Well, Florida, right?
To me, when you look at the schedule, out of the remaining six games, I think four of them are toss-ups. Four of them are coin flips. I think there's one guaranteed. No, I'm sorry. There's three toss-ups. One guaranteed win with Vanderbilt. I think if you threw Florida, Florida State, LSU, South Carolina, all in a blind draw, you know, and anybody can beat anybody in those games, in my opinion. I think Georgia is better than we are, but like I said, crazy things can happen. I think A&M's better than we are. Regardless, they're sitting at 3-3. They're still a pretty good football team. Not great because they have issues at quarterback. But I still think they're a good football
team.
They're
beatable, but they're a very good.
Well, they are beatable. I would feel better if we were playing them at home and not there.
Right, exactly. I think that's why I favor them too as well. So they're looking like they're going to be at least a 7-win team. The 8th one may be a little harder to get. So, but remember, how much better will this team get and can it get? And how much better can the defense play on third down? How much better can Anthony play when he's throwing the football? And what have you. And let's look at the players that they've got who had to overcome injury to make plays in this game. I mean, Anthony went off the field with a gimp ankle and made that play that set up the touchdown, when he scrambled. And that was an impromptu play that he made. And then you've got the two interceptions by Jaden Hill, SEC Defensive Player of the Week. Huge plays. This is a defense that's got to take the ball away and did that. If they can do that, even they give up to huge chunks of yardage, and Anthony cannot throw picks, they're not turning it over, they have a shot in every game. Even that injury from George, they have a shot. And they should win three more games and maybe four. That's how I was said. Do you disagree? What do you think?
Well, I mean, for us to win games, we need turnovers, but we can't turn the ball over. I mean, the turnover margin was equal, 2-2, in this past game. You know, defensively, like I said, we gave up a lot of third and longs, but I had no problem with what we were doing schematically. We just didn't get it done as football players. And they've got to learn from that somehow to not allow that to happen anymore. I mean, you know, people are all over Todd Grantham and stuff, but Patrick Toney knows what he's doing. And we just got to take better angles, know the down and distance, understand football, understand that let them throw the football underneath, take the proper angle, and gain tackle and force a punt and not let them convert on those long yardage situations.
Tell me what you said earlier this year when we talked about, when you talked to Will Muschamp before the season started, the subject came up of Patrick Toney. What did he say?
Well, I didn't even bring it up. He just said, man, y'all got a really good dude that's going to be on the defense side of the ball. He knows what he's doing. And I agree 100% with that. You know, I don't know if I said it when I was speaking tonight, if I said it on your show already, buddy. These coaches know what they're doing. They're a good group. And I think Gator fans need to realize they have issues with the, quote, bend but don't break defense. But let me tell you something. It gives us the best chance of winning. And that's the bottom line. We don't have the horses to do everything they possibly want to do. And if you have to drive the length of the field to get points, usually something bad happens. The percentages are against you. And it happened the other day. I mean, the biggest play in the game Saturday was a bad snap over Brady Cook's head that would have been a 25-yard loss at minimum. He makes an unbelievable play, scooping it up and rolls right and throws it away. Yeah. And three plays later, they score, a tying touchdown.
That was an amazing play. I mean, that kid has got guts, I'm going to tell you.
That kid, let me tell you something. He is a really good football player, and he may never play well again. But what I saw Saturday, I was extremely impressed. But the bottom line is fans need to understand the other team has coaches, and they have good players too, and they're going to make plays.
Yeah.
But – we are what we are. We're 4-2. I'm ecstatic we're 4-2, quite honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, if you had your choice, you'd rather see them beat Kentucky and lose to Utah. But that's the way it goes because this thing is wide open. Kentucky losing a game we didn't expect. Well, Shane, it's the second half of the season in the SEC, and all things are possible. We've seen this movie before. There will be upsets. There will be teams that lose aren't supposed to and teams that win. So that's what makes it so good playing in the SEC, Shane.
Yeah, I mean, it's a two-horse race right now in the East, Tennessee and Georgia. I think Tennessee loses this week if Bryce Young plays. If he doesn't, Tennessee will win. Alabama can't beat Tennessee if that other kid plays quarterback.
Hendon Hooker is something else. By the way, as we go out, half the starting quarterbacks in the SEC are out.
Really?
Yeah, half. So, starting quarterback. So, there you go. Stuff happens when you get people hurt, and that's why it's the black and blue league at the ground and pound takes a toll. Shane Matthews, tomorrow morning on the program, he's got some outstanding guest. I'm not sure who will be on Pot Up with Matthews, but who you got tomorrow, Shane?
I got Buddy Martin. And then I got Matt Marshall from the Orlando Sentinel, who covers all of college football. So, we have him on every now and then, and we're going to have him on tomorrow after you.
Very good. Thank you, Shane. Thanks for jumping on tonight when you were busy. Keep up the good work out of the booth. We appreciate it very much. All right?
All right, buddy. Take care.
Shane Matthews. All right, quickly, we got our buddy Scott Carter in the green room. We're going to hear from Jeffrey Meldon, and then we're going to go right back to Scott Carter and get his take on things, including Tom Petty Day.
A breaking story, okay?
All right.
So this year, my wife Patricia and I are chair people for the Alzheimer's Association. And Meldon Law was founded in 1971. So for every free throw made this year by both the men's basketball team and women's basketball team, Meldon Law is donating $19.71 to the Alzheimer's Foundation.
Nice. What's the 1971? When you started the law firm?
Yes.
Very good. That's a great story. All right, Meldon Law, where you matter most, you won't back down. Check them out. They're online. You give away things all the time. Go to their Facebook page. See what they got to give away. You might get a couple of tickets to the next game, and they're great about that, sponsoring the Florida Gators. Thanks to Jeffrey. We'll be talking to Jeffrey later on. Let's go to our Orange and Blue room now and see our good friend Scott Carter, who joins the program tonight. He's been working hard all weekend, getting ready for a big one this weekend. And here it is, LSU week, Scott. It's going to be, can you believe it? We're halfway through.
I know, man. It just flies by once they once they start playing, it's been such a weird season so far. 5 home games. This will be number 6 in 7 games. So it's just one of those quirky scheduling deals where, you know, it's been home a lot. So, and then a bye week, which I'm ready for. But yeah, before that, buddy, LSU. And I mean, I don't know. LSU, Florida is right there. It's not too far behind for me, LSU or Florida, Georgia. This is pretty much my second favorite game on the schedule. So I'm looking forward to it. And I know it's going to be electric on Saturday night.
I'm with you on that. Exactly. I think it's because so much has happened that we can go back to the Hurricane game and the issue of whether to play it or not to play it. I was talking to my friend Matt Moscona, who will be on the program Wednesday, about the games. And I kind of got them all mixed up because there's so many of them. I go back to the 2007 game, which is so great, in Baton Rouge, one of the great games I've ever seen. And, of course, LSU won a national championship in the game. It could have gone the other way. We've had drop balls. We've had going forward on fourth down. We've had crazy stuff, throwing shoes. I was thinking today about trying to remember. My memory was foggy because I remember the foggy night, and I was thinking that was last year. And that was actually 2 years ago, the Foggy Night, right?
2 years ago, which that will always go down as one of the most memorable games because, I mean, it was a disappointing end, but what a weird night. I've never been to a game where you could not see the field from the press box. I mean, you couldn't see anything. It was so foggy. And it was also COVID year, so it wasn't packed like normal. Just one of those weird years. I think they can make a documentary on that one, buddy, just that game alone.
It was. It was crazy. And then, of course, we know the upshot of that. And then I guess it was last year, LSU just ran the counterplay 100 times, made 5,000 yards on it. Was that right? I couldn't get my ears mixed up.
Yeah, a lot of counterplays. And, you know, Anthony Richardson came in, and that's when I think fans first really got excited about Anthony as the quarterback, although he did some things earlier. That was the first time we saw him kind of unleashed in the passing game. Lost 49-42, man, hell of a game. And of course, the other one, the one in 2020, the fall game was a great game. And then going back to 19, that was the game out in LSU where it was 35-28. I mean, they've had some really good games.
I get them all mixed up. There's so many of them. And it's become, like you said, next to Georgia, the game. But even though it's in different divisions, it has an impact on the outcome. Well, you know, it's funny. LSU is a passing team. If you look at the stats, Florida is a running team. Numbers coming across today, how well the numbers are for the Florida running game, which we saw on display. Montrell Johnson and Trevor Etienne ranked 2nd and 4th in SEC in yards rushing. That's not something you normally see from Florida. And this is their bread and butter when they need it, especially when the passes are not being completed. So, I mean, you can't say enough about the offensive line, which is the strength of this team. Osiris Torrance is one. Their others have played well on the offensive line. I don't want to slight the others. That Swiss cheese defense on third down just about gave people heart attacks, man, making those 3rd and 28s and 3rd and 16s, whatever. But I'm telling you, I said on my show Sunday, Orange and Blue Bloods, they ought to get Shan's cardiac unit, the sponsor of this program, because it was a nerve wracker on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, they really all have been kind of that way, except the Eastern Washington game. And it's not ideal, but it certainly makes it entertaining. And, you know, they're going to have to get some of the stuff cleaned up in the defense. I mean, Billy Napier knows that. But, again, I don't know if they will or not, buddy. I just kind of think that's what Shane said. That's kind of who they are with their personnel. Billy Napier earlier today at his press conference. I mean, he said it's really a combination of things. It's not really something you can point at and say we have to clean that. It's been tackling. It's been some communication. It's been some calls. It's been some coverage lapses. So there's just a lot that's going into that. You hope that they show improvement there. But I think, you know, this team's 4-2 at midseason. That's about where I kind of expect, and I think if they can go 4-2 the rest of the way and finish 8-4, I think it's a good year.
Really,
I mean,
good
maybe
year.
Surprises, but I just think with this roster and this talent, they're close to maximizing what they have, and I think they will get better as the season progresses. But I mean, this isn't going to be suddenly the 08 or 06 Gators. But I think they can have a good season for Billy Napier in his first year. And, you know, anytime you can beat LSU, if that's the case on Saturday, that's a huge win for them. And, you know, on paper, you like the Gators in this one. I mean, they got some advantages, but I think it goes all back to what you said, buddy, in your little intro there. This is a running team. Let's go ahead and just say that.
Yeah, right.
They're going to win by running the ball, and I think they're starting to figure that out. Are they going to need Anthony Richardson to make some plays? Of course. But they're going to win running the ball.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. All right, Scott, I got a couple little questions for you here before we let you go. I'm going to make you work a little bit. This is interesting, Steph. I said to you, in the SEC, who had the most full-time coaches since 2000? Which schools? I wonder if you could even get two of them.
You're talking about head coaches.
Head coaches, most head coaches since 2000.
In the SEC, well,
now, I didn't count these. I took it off a tweet, so I'm just assuming they're accurate.
But I got you. Boy, I mean, I'll go with one of the schools like Mississippi. No, they're not going to be
not there. In there. Nope.
I'm maybe got Ole Miss.
Nope.
Huh. I was going to say Tennessee, but Fulmer was there for about eight.
Well, Tennessee
years.
Is one of them. There's six coaches in Tennessee.
Tennessee is six, and the next one would be Florida, I guess,
with seven.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that just shows you, that's you know, when you think about it that way, it is hard to believe.
And then you look at, here's what's odd, then you got four, these teams have had four, Auburn, Alabama, and LSU have all had four. And as Scott pointed out today, they've won national championship at LSU with three different coaches, all who were gone.
That is a And I'll say the guy who Alabama hired, the fourth guy they hired, he's done pretty well.
Yeah, I'd say he's done pretty well. And then Georgia's had three, by the way. So I thought that was interesting. And the guy that said that slammed the comment was, if you lose the SEC, you lose your job no matter where you work. And that's pretty much true. So, yeah. So as we set the scene for Saturday night, a night game in the Swamp, I believe you mentioned who was calling the game. Tessitore and that bunch of and McElroy, etc. They'll be here. It's going to have a big game feel to it, even though it's not two ranked teams. They're bigger games, but it has a big game feel to it.
Well, I think, you know, just from the fact it's one of the SEC's premier rivalries, and this game matters a lot to both programs. You've got two first-year head coaches trying to establish their programs, and Billy Napier and Brian Kelly, first time that these two guys have met head-to-head. Obviously, Florida's at home. Brian Kelly, you know, they're going to be fired up after getting thumped at home by Tennessee. So they're going to try to come in and spoil the Gators' night. So there's a lot of storylines around it. But the thing that I'm kind of pumped, obviously, the sideshow is, you know, Tom Petty night. And you're like, what does that? You know, we're all kind of used to now the tradition of the I won't back down at the end of the third quarter and everybody getting their iPhones out and lighting it up. I mean, it's going to be electric in there. I'm going to talk to his daughter and brother tomorrow.
Oh, that'll be good for your FloridaGators.com story.
Yeah, just to get their thoughts on it. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to seeing what they say, just what they think about, you know, how this has blossomed into this really a cool tradition.
Yeah.
Kind of out of nowhere. I mean, you know, it's obviously built right around at the time of his passing back in 2017. Yeah. And it's grown from there. And it's just been cool to see. So I'm excited to just to be in that environment, man. Yeah.
Scott, before I let you go, I will say we got to give credit where it's credit due. We complained about a couple of things. We complained about the fact that the third down defense was Swiss cheese. But I will say this. One penalty. Much more efficient they have been. That part is working. The running game working. You can take off things that are working. And so I think you have to and Billy said it right. It was it's a cliche, team victory. Got just enough from the defense and just enough from the offense in the second half to make it all work. Gators are now obviously got their first SEC win. Billy drinks champagne for a day or so, and it's time to move on. Saturday night in the Swamp, the LSU Tigers coming to town.
Yeah, and, you know, they're going to try to get another one of those team wins. And, they'll take them. One thing I can tell you about this team, just being around the inside some, I mean, I've seen bad chemistry and I've seen good chemistry. Mm-hmm. I really like the chemistry right now. I think they're headed in the right direction there. It all starts with Napier. I think the guys enjoy playing for him. I really do. And, you know, I know he doesn't have as deep of a roster as he will. I know they're lacking some talent in key spots on defense, but I like the energy they're giving. I like all the intangibles he keeps talking about. And you're going to win a game or two just because of those things. I mean, I've seen that Florida team last year. I think they would have lost Saturday if it was last year's team. I really do. I mean, they kind of did lose at Missouri in a very similar game last year. So you win a couple of those games that you lost last year. They're not going to be pretty. They're not going to be something that are instant classics. But you got to have some of those as you're as you're kind of building what you're building.
You make me want to sing. I've seen fire and I've seen rain. Oh, wait a minute. That's James Taylor. That's not Tom Petty. Scott Carter, read him on FloridaGators.com. Thank you very much, Scott. See you Saturday in the box.
All right, buddy. Have a good night, my man.
All right. Thank you very much. And by the way, I'm going to have a little dinner on this, if you haven't seen it before. I've got Franz standing by in the green room. I want to make him a little hungry before I bring him aboard. There's my tree, my tower, buddytowers.com. Look at that stuff, man. Is that rich green or what? That's what it looks like when you grow it, which I do. You can get go to buddytowers.com. I'm trying to get Franz to grow one and see if he can do it. And then you can get that, and you can go with things like this. And I had that over the weekend, by the way. This is my daughter, Laurie, what she made. You put that protein on top and a tomato and the greens. It's healthy. It's farm to table. I'm a farmer. You can be, too. Check it out, buddytowers.com, and find out how you can do it and make yourself a little side change. You might be as rich as Franz Beard one day, although I doubt it. Evening, Francis.
Good evening. Another fine day here in paradise.
Yes, sir. Thanks for all the good work you've been doing, man. You've been working hard and appreciate it. And, well, I know you got your game face on. We've seen a few of these, friends. And this LSU-Florida thing has become a thing, hasn't it?
Well, it's an interesting series in that a lot of competitive ball games that we've had. You look at the last four ball games. Florida beats Joe Burrow at the Swamp, then loses to Joe Burrow in pretty much a heartbreaking game. LSU got a couple late touchdowns to make it a 14-point game, but it was a 28-28 at one point in time. Then LSU wins here in the Swamp on the Shoegate game with the 57-yard field goal in the fog. We had players today who were saying, goodness, I was standing on the sideline. I couldn't tell if it was good or not. I couldn't see it. Mm-hmm. Then last year we go there and we lose by 7 there. So we've lost 3 in a row, but the last 4 ball games have all been down to the wire type of ball games. So should be interesting. I think Florida is being generously placed as a 3.5-point favorite here. I was a little bit surprised by that, but I guess they're going based on the fact that the Gators played so well against Tennessee and LSU played so poorly against Tennessee.
Yeah, Tennessee played so well. I mean, that guy hit a hooker. I got to tell you, they're well coached. They're really well coached. They're fun to watch. And they're going to be there. And you know, I'm not going to be shocked if they knock off Alabama. I'm really not. Because they can move the football. And, boy, what did we see on Saturday night, friends? Late night. Here is Alabama couldn't lose that game. A&M throwing for the touchdown down to the 2-yard line and didn't make it. But, boy, we were wrong about that. We thought Jimbo was going to get whacked.
Well, you know, here's the thing is, if even though Jimbo is being given credit for, almost winning the game, Alabama, with those 3 turnovers, gave up 21 points. Texas A&M scored 17 of its 20 points off of those turnovers. So you take that, it should have been a blowout even so, even with Jalen Milroe there. Alabama did some things that Alabama just doesn't normally do at all. And I got to tell you what, I watched that game and I hear all the Aggies saying, well, look how close we are. I don't think they're very close at all. I did not come away with that game, you know, a tenth of as impressed with Texas A&M as some folks are. And that's not, has nothing to do with disliking Jimbo or anything like that. It's just, I don't see it, buddy. Alabama just played rotten football. They turned it over four times.
Well, they said they didn't have their quarterback, and Jimbo said, I didn't have mine either.
Well, that's a lie.
Not really accurate. True, but not accurate.
It's a lie because it's a flat out, not inaccurate. That's a flat out lie. This is the guy who was his starting quarterback last year. Yeah. This is the guy.
But he wasn't the quarterback who's been starting recently. I get it. I know he's fudging the truth.
It's a lie. Yeah. It's not fudging. It's a flat out lie.
Why are you so harsh, friends? You used to be a nice guy.
I'm just telling the truth, Bud Light.
Yeah. All right. So here's the deal. I got a quiz for you. You were at the press conference today. You're going to tell us what went on. Here was my favorite revelation out of the press conference today. All right? I can't say his last name. I just say Princely. All right? Yuma Milan, Yuma Milan, whatever.
Milan. I can say it perfectly. Milan.
Okay. All right. So he was asked the question by his name, Princely. It's Nigerian. We kind of knew that. And the question was, Princely is royalty. He said, my dad did that. I have four brothers. And he named them. Can you name those brothers? I thought they were pretty cool.
Well, his youngest one's Princeton, and then the one below him is Prince Will, and then I think the first one is Prince. Prince, Princely, Prince Will, and Princeton.
Very good, sir. You paid attention. Sounds like George Foreman to me. They're all named George. But we'll see. Maybe there'll be more UMN, whatever the names are here.
UMN.
So, yeah, whatever. Those let you pronounce it. All right, so one other quick anecdote before we get back to the press conference today. How many different ways can Damian Pierce embarrass Dan Mullen? Today, unbelievable. 17 missed tackles on that run against the Jaguars. The most Pro Football Focus has ever recorded in a single game. Most ever. And this guy couldn't get on the field of Florida. What is wrong with that picture?
Well, the 20-yard run that set up his touchdown run, which his touchdown run was a pretty tough run too. I mean, it may have been 1 yard, but you watch how he powers his way into that end zone. You know what blows my mind about it is – during his 4 years here, Florida had no better ambassador than Damian Pierce. Great kid, great attitude, always had positive things to say, very well spoken, graduated here in 4 years. You couldn't have asked for a better ambassador. And yet, here he is, 1,800 yards in his career. He may... the way he's running the ball in the NFL, he may wind up with 1,800 yards this year as a rookie.
Wow.
I guarantee you one thing, he's going to wind up with 1,000-plus yards. He in five games now, but he 412 yards. He's fourth in the NFL in rushing.
Wow.
And he just, you know, last week, did you see the run last week? Last week he runs 75 yards for a touchdown.
Every week there's another highlight, this guy, and he can't play for Dan Mullen. Hey.
Yeah, well, see, here's the thing I've heard, and you may have to ask somebody who's was there at practice every day and stuff like that. But I heard, and I trust the guy I talked to, that Mullen just was in charge of calling the plays, and the guy and the running backs coach, Greg Knox, is the guy that was in charge of the rotation.
Yeah, Mullen just worried about his own specialty. He didn't worry about the rest of it.
And all I got to say is, you know, pox on Dan Mullen for not recognizing what was going on, and a double pox on Greg Knox for not being smart enough to know that he had a guy who's a stud. This is a guy who could have led the SEC in rushing. No,
my granddaughter could have figured that out by watching it. Anybody could have figured that out, and yet he acted like it didn't happen.
Well, it blows my mind, and mine too. I look at that, and you know, I look at Anthony Richardson and how poorly he was developed last year.
And now we're hearing stories that he could have gotten on the field last year, and Mullen, we thought he was hurt, and he wasn't hurt. That's not what the players are telling us now. He wasn't hurt.
No, he wasn't hurt. Dan Mullen was determined to
play his guy,
to show that he could take a square peg and fit it in a round hole, and it would work. Mm-hmm. And that was his guy, and he was determined to show that he... It reminds me of a certain athletic director who once said, anybody I make the coach here is going to win championships.
Wait a minute. How about the guy who said, where I play a quarterback, my dog is going to win? Who was that guy?
Well, we had that guy here. We had that guy here too, Old Yeller himself, mm-hmm. you know, who, by the way, is now 1-5 up at Central Michigan.
Oh, really? I didn't realize that.
The Central Michigan Chippewas are basically getting their butts handed to them on a platter every single week by whoever they play in the Mac and Cheese Conference. Not exactly a really good year for Old Yeller. He's doing pretty bad.
All right, Francis, I want you to take me a couple places here now I want you to think about what you saw, what you've seen in basketball, just a quick glimpse. Talk a little bit about the monster home run that was hit the other night. And then take me into the season and tell me how Florida will squeeze 4 more wins out of this to have an 8-win season. Let's start with the first. What have you seen and heard about basketball?
Well, I was there today watching practice, and Alex Fudge had an absolutely spectacular practice, especially on the defensive end. He was tremendous. You put him and Castleton in the game at the same time, and Florida is going to block an awful lot of shots. Castleton is the one indispensable piece they have, but Alex Fudge may be pretty close to it. So is Kyle Lofton, although he's been hurt a bit. I call Trey Bonham area code because he shoots from another area code and all it does is go in. But I think he's as quick as Casey Hill, maybe even quicker than Casey. Super, super competitive kid. It's a good looking ball club. The key is going to be keeping Castleton healthy. Because if Colin goes out, they don't have that big guy that can score and rebound and block shots the way he does. Jason Jatobo will do a nice job, but Jason's not Colin Castleton. It's going to be a really good basketball team, buddy. The reason they're going to be so good is because Todd's got a lot of interchangeable parts now. He's got Castleton's not interchangeable, but at the other four positions, he's got guys that he can just float in and out and create mismatches at every single one of them. It's going to be an interesting year. I think what I see right now is a team that's going to win 20, and if with a little bit of luck here and there in some close games, could win 23, 24 games at least.
All right. How about the monster home run?
Well, that was yesterday. Wyatt Langford, at the first day of practice, they had a scrimmage. Last at bat, eighth inning, he gets a fastball from Blake Purnell, and he puts that sucker into orbit. 415 feet distance, left the bat at 103 miles an hour. And that's not even the hardest ball he hit all day. He had one earlier. He hit an absolute bullet straight up the middle that Ty Robertson caught not Ty Robertson, Michael Robertson caught. But that one was 111 miles an hour off the bat. That was an absolute bullet. Pitchers, Brandon Sproat and Hudson Waldrop. Hudson Waldrop is the All-American transfer from Southern Miss. Both of them heating up at 95, 96 miles an hour. Then they bring in this freshman, Jake Clemente. And all he did was throw 93, 94, 95 all the time he was in there. Good-looking bunch of kids. Of course, it's just fall. You got a long way to go. But the depth in the pitching staff is the thing that this team has the depth in the pitching staff they haven't had since 2017.
All right.
You got guys who are going to be doing midweek who are going to get high draft picks.
Yeah, interesting. We'll follow it closely. And by the way, I want to just take a break and tell them about Renstar, and I want you to come back and set the scene for me. Look at the schedule. Get the schedule in front of you on the Florida Gators and tell me what it looks like from Saturday on, because this is the second half of the season when strange things happen. Like I said earlier, half the starting quarterbacks in the SEC are out. Stuff happens. There's a residual impact on the bodies of these players. You cannot play that kind of football and not have it take a toll on you. Who will be last man standing? What's going to happen? What kind of upsets we got coming? I want you to tell me if there's a way and you can see Florida getting any better than three more wins, which would give them seven. The Vegas line was 7.5. Meanwhile, I'm going to tell you, you see the green M up there. I'll be sure to remind you folks that our friends over at Main Street Community Bank are there for you. It's my bank. I highly recommend you go downtown North Magnolia and check them out. They're an independent, FDIC insured, locally operated bank, full service. And I love calling them up if you want to get an answer and getting someone to pick up the phone and tell me what I need to do to fix something in my account. They had a brand new office downtown Ocala, North Magnolia, Main Street Community Bank of Ocala. Giving us our middle name. They're sponsors of the Orange and Blue Room, even though they have a green in there. And finally, Renstar Medical Research. My friends at Renstar have been very supportive of France and I all these years and what we do here, and we do appreciate that. And they have been very kind and generous to us. And I want to just remind you who they are, because they're members of our community that take care of us by trying to find out what's the best treatment for our ailments. Superior Medical Research Facility, with a proven reputation as a high-quality, patient-centered clinical research facility, Renstar Medical Research brings cutting-edge technology and clinical research trials to Ocala in areas such as Alzheimer's disease, psoriasis, osteoarthritis, migraine, and fibromyalgia, along with many other conditions that affect our community. Since their inception in 1998, Renstar has participated in more than 700 clinical trials. Call them up and find out how you can get involved. You can be one of the subjects if you'd like to. They'll compensate you for time and travel. If you qualify, you must be between ages of 18 and 75 for most things. Telephone number is 352-629-5800. That's 352-629-5800, or go to Renstar.net. Renstar Medical Research, seeking tomorrow's answers to the health questions of today. Francis Beard, tell us what we can see down the road. What's coming up for this Florida Gator football team?
No, they're going to win four more ball games. The question is, are they going to win five? They're going to win four more. I don't think you got to worry about that. I think they're going to win. I think they're going to win Saturday against LSU. Georgia is a game that everybody's going to say no chance, but then they get the Aggies, even though that game's at Kyle Field. I don't trust the Aggies to win that one. South Carolina's at home, beatable, winnable game. Vanderbilt, they'll win that one. And then Florida State, they win that one. They could win that one too. So 8-4, very possible. 9-3, stars and planets could align, but they're going to do. They should do well.
Certainly, that would be a fantastic season for Billy Napier and his squad. They're hanging on for everything they can hang on for, doing just enough to get by. They seem to be plugging the holes, making plays, doing just enough on, as Billy said, a team, truly a team victory, doing just enough on offense and defense. What's the most encouraging thing that you saw, friends?
Well, I like the way they got after the quarterback there in the fourth quarter. I thought that
four
was
sacks,
the best,
right?
I thought that was the best I've seen them do at setting the edge. And finally, we saw that happen. they really did a good job getting after the quarterback. Three of the four sacks were in the fourth quarter. Ton of tackles for loss in that game. 13 tackles for loss to go with four sacks and two turnovers. You do that, you're going to win a lot of football games, buddy. They're getting there. Are they a they're not there yet. And Billy would be the first one to tell you about it. But as I just wrote a story I just put up on GatorBait, as he said today, we're getting there. And he's right. They are. They're going to find the consistency. He's got to get a better effort out of his offense. And by that, I hate to put it all on the shoulders of one guy, but Anthony's got to play better. Anthony has got to play better. He has got to make better decisions. He's got to run the ball a little bit more. He's got to make good throws. That throw he made to Ricky Pearsall, what an absolute dart that was. And this is what he's capable of doing if he'll get outside the box and if he won't hesitate. And that's the whole key, is he's got to stop hesitating when he gets outside the box or even when he's in the pocket. He's got opportunities to run, and he's got to understand sometimes that 4 yards positive running the ball and you can slide is better than an incomplete pass or taking a sack.
Yes, it does work out that way for sure. And well, I'm impressed that he did what he had to do when he did it and wound up, who would have thought those kind of numbers? If I said to you, all right, 66 yards in passing, who wins this game?
Florida. Well, nobody would have picked the Gators to win it that. But here's the thing that they did. They got the plays they needed when they needed to. Now, I know we've said that time and time again, but they're 4-2 right now. They could easily be 1-5. Very, very easily 1-5. But they're not. They're 4-2. Could be 6-0, but they're not. They're 4-2. And what does that tell us? That says that this is a team that is indeed, as Billy says, a work in progress. They're getting better. I know we all want it. We want it right now. And that's the problem, is we want it right now. We don't want to wait for it. We want to see the Gators winning now and winning big. They're not doing it there. They're not there yet. But think about this for a second. There's LSU with Brian Kelly, who's won national championships at the Division II level, had an unbeaten team until, that he left behind at Cincinnati, went to the playoff a couple, three times at Notre Dame. And he's being paid, $47 bazillion a year to come there to LSU. And he's at home. LSU fans are embarrassed about what happened to this. They don't like him to begin with. They like him less now. They will tolerate him if he wins. But you didn't want to talk about a guy that has a bunch of proving to do. He's got a bunch of proving to do, at least to their fan base. Scott Woodward probably doesn't feel that way because he's the one that wrote up that great big contract for him. But I like the future of Florida football. I like it a lot better than I do the future of LSU football under Brian Kelly.
Well said, Francis Beard. You agree with GatorBait like all of us do. Thoughts of the day are among the most popular things we have. Have a good week, Francis. We'll talk to you again on Thursday on Gator Collective Corner with you and I and Ben True. Take care, my friend. All right, Francis Beard bringing it to us. Have a good night, folks. Thanks to our sponsors and our guests. We're back tomorrow night.